once again, and welcome to SearchSecurity.com Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, August 16th, 2006. I'm Eric Parizeau. This week, we recap the flurry of Microsoft news and chat with Frost & Sullivan analyst Rob Ayoub about the dangers of the MS-06040 flaw, plus a serious flaw in an upcoming development platform, the conflict in the Middle East spills into cyberspace, and online attackers go after a new kind of asset, one that may not even really exist. But first, our top story. Once again, enterprises are forced into quick action as attackers exploit the latest Microsoft flaws. Over the weekend, malicious programmers released malware targeting the already infamous MS-06-040 flaw. Microsoft calls the worm Grawweg and says it's a low-level issue because it is only a threat to Windows 2000 systems that have not yet installed the 040 patch. Meanwhile, researcher Benjamin Tobias Franz has released proof-of-concept exploit code targeting a new, unpatched flaw in Windows. The code takes advantage of multiple security holes in the Windows Help Viewer, the Windows program that enables users to view help documentation. Symantec says no specific information on the exploits has been made available, but the issues involve memory corruption and excessive PC resource usage. Microsoft said earlier this week that it is investigating that problem, but that it is not aware of any attacks involving the Windows Help Viewer flaws. So in the security spotlight this week, just when it seemed Microsoft was making significant progress against digital miscreants, it has faced an onslaught of vulnerabilities, exploits, and proof-of-concept code. Plus, this is the third year in a row that early August has unleashed a firestorm of Microsoft threats. This time last year, the Zotov worm emerged, and 2 years ago, the Blaster worm was tearing up cyberspace. Joining us to put the recent Microsoft security issues in context is Rob Ayoub, industry analyst for network security with research firm Frost & Sullivan. Rob, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Rob, IT pros usually wait several weeks to a month or even more sometimes before deploying new Microsoft patches in order to make sure they're thoroughly vetted. Are the security risks related to the MS-06040 flaw serious enough so that organizations should accelerate the patch process for 040?
Well, there definitely is a higher risk associated with it, with this patch, but just based on the attack vectors and how hackers are able to exploit it. But what we see is that organizations really have to look at their current security posture overall and to determine where this patch fits in. Part of why we layered security is considered a best practice is really for situations like this. An organization already has a strong security posture. They have firewalls that are blocking the ports. They have other mechanisms such as intrusion prevention or client-based security. They can probably afford to run the patch as part of their normal cycle. But on the other hand, if I'm a small organization connected straight to the internet with virtually no other protection, then I should be looking to expedite this patch.
When organizations like the Department of Homeland Security chime in and say, this patch needs to be updated soon, though, does that highlight the risk in a proper way, or do you feel like that's almost putting too much emphasis on one particular patch?
I think in some ways it does put maybe undue emphasis on a patch, but then again, there are still plenty of individuals in particular, that we see that aren't currently updating their machines properly, and even smaller organizations. So, again, I think it's a question of posture, and organizations that are already security aware are already understand the dangers of the patch or of the vulnerability and are already prepared, I think, to move forward with releasing the patch and get it to the machine. So, in a way, I think the DHS warning, yes, it might be a bit overstated, but I think it has its effect for people and for organizations that maybe aren't taking as proactive approach to security. So I think it was a good move, even if it was maybe a little overstated.
Now, we also reported this week that a variant of last year's Mockbot malware, also known as Grawweg, is targeting the 040 flaw, but doesn't really seem to be going anywhere, unlike past exploits that have hit this time of year. Does that suggest to you that the era of large-scale worms and bots is coming to an end?
You know, I really don't. I don't think we're seeing the end of large-scale worms. And as far as bots, we continue to hear that bots are still a huge problem. In fact, one of the biggest problems on many networks. But one of the things that I think we are seeing is a change in the methodology. It's no longer going to be easy enough to just send out an exploit on the standard RPC Microsoft port. What we're starting to see more and more of is very targeted attacks. And I think in the future, what we're going to see is more attacks at the application level, coming through trusted sources, coming through port 80, targeted phishing and adware attacks. I think one of the most dangerous attacks we've seen recently was the MySpace WMF exploit, because it was exploited through essentially a trusted channel through advertising. And that's where I really see, you know, I'm not, when we see more large-scale worms and attacks in the future, I think we're going to see them through other methodologies other than just unleashing them on the wild.
Shifting gears a little bit, the big antivirus vendors are saying that new kernel restrictions in the upcoming Windows Vista operating system will make it more difficult for them to produce effective security software. Is Microsoft making it tougher for those companies to compete in the AV world, or are the AV vendors just unhappy about Microsoft's growing influence in security?
You know, Eric, it's actually a really funny situation. The security vendors used to stake their claim on Microsoft's security issues on the insecurity operating system. The most security vendors, their primary selling point before was, if you had Microsoft, you needed our product because Microsoft wasn't safe. And look at the exploits, and look at the viruses that are out there. Now, as Microsoft increases the security of their products, the security companies are crying foul. But now, that's not to say that Microsoft entering the security space, they don't have something to gain by closing down their system a bit. But, you know, personally, I really feel that in some ways it's kind of giving the security vendors maybe some of their own medicine. For years, the security vendors have really been the only players, and now, with Microsoft entering this market, they're going to have to evolve their products in order to stay competitive. It's not going to be good enough to just be an antivirus provider or anti-spam or a personal firewall. They're going to have to add features and add functionality to stay competitive against Microsoft.
To play devil's advocate with you, though, for a moment, when we're talking about offering antivirus software, that's one thing, but when it comes to altering or restricting the Windows kernel, part of the operating system, isn't that perhaps leveraging a competitive advantage in a different kind of way?
It could be seen that way in some extent, but it also depends in terms of if those kernel restrictions are actually increasing the security of the operating system. And I think it's hard, it's going to be difficult to point a finger and say, well, this is monopolizing security for Microsoft, if it actually does improve the security of the operating system. Now, that being said, I do agree that it does seem strange that there wouldn't be hooks or other ways for the antivirus companies to work with Microsoft, but I think we still have yet to see it if these moves truly make Microsoft operating system any more secure and how that plays in. So at this point, I think you could make the case either way.
Finally, this is the third year in a row where we've had a serious Microsoft-related security issue in early August. Last year it was Zotab. 2 years ago it was Blaster. Some say it's related to the Black Hat Hacker Conference. Some say it's related to System Administrator Day that happens in late July, while others say it's just coincidence. What's your take? Is there any running theme here?
It's kind of funny. I've also heard it called the back-to-school worms. It's just, it is interesting, and it's kind of, it's fascinating that we've seen for the last 3 years in a row these attacks. And I certainly think that several of the factors you mentioned, things like Black Hat, maybe SysAdmin's Day, really put the security field in the spotlight and make it maybe heighten the sensitivity to those sorts of to attacks to the media. But at the same time, there has to be a critical vulnerability to go along with it. So I think there's a lot of, I think it's a, there's a lot of coincidence. I mean, I think it is a combination of several factors and not just any one particular thing. But it is an interesting, it's an interesting sort of phenomenon that we've seen, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see if it continues in the future.
We joke that security pros may not want to take a vacation in August next year, that's for sure. Rob Ayoub, industry analyst for Network Security with Frost & Sullivan. Thank you so much for joining us on Security Wire Weekly.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Also in the news, developers using the emerging open source development platform called Ruby on Rails are urged to upgrade immediately after the discovery of a serious security hole. The Ruby on Rails management team hasn't disclosed details about the threat, but they did call it severe. Not all versions are affected, but developers are strongly encouraged to upgrade to version 1.1.5 as soon as possible. Next, despite the delicate ceasefire and the conflict between Israel and the Lebanon-based Hezbollah militia, the battle is spilling over into cyberspace. According to Darknet, a huge number of websites have been attacked and defaced as a protest against Israel's invasion of Lebanon. In one case, two NASA websites were victimized by an SQL injection attack that wiped out usernames, passwords, and emails from the NASA web server. Another group called the Israeli Defense Force has also hacked numerous sites. The internet skirmish is being watched closely, as some worry that site defacements could lead to more serious attacks against vital digital infrastructure. And this just in, Cisco is trying to reproduce the security hole that a researcher outlined at the recent Black Hat Hacker Conference, but so far, the company has been unsuccessful. A few weeks ago, Freenet CityLine's lead VoIP developer Hendrik Schultz revealed a previously undisclosed flaw related to session initiation protocol in Cisco's PIX series of firewalls and security appliances. As of this broadcast, though, Cisco has been unable to confirm that the flaw exists. According to a Cisco spokesman, the company will keep testing and will issue a security advisory if new information becomes available. Finally this week, protecting mission-critical data is hard enough, but now online gamers have to worry about getting robbed as well. According to the BBC, Microsoft has issued a warning. It says that popular multiplayer online role-playing games like Ultima Online, EverQuest, and World of Warcraft are vulnerable to attackers. The attackers exploit weaknesses in the game to steal players' account information and then sell off virtual game attributes in the real world for cash, real cash. So what can players do? Microsoft says they should encourage game developers to build extra security measures into their games, and players should be very careful about who they trust. And that is Security Wire Weekly from searchsecurity.com. The latest corporate security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And don't forget, you can check out more of our podcasts, including our brand new Newsmaker podcast with industry luminary Dan Gear, at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And a special thanks to Doug Sharp, Dottie Lucy, and our entire team who helped make possible our brand new studio here in our Needham, Massachusetts headquarters. We thank you for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.